Hello and welcome to Nightlock. This is the podcast dedicated to The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. My name is Matt.
And I'm Kira.
And we're your hosts for this podcast. This is our fourth episode. So today we will be focusing on chapter 6 and 7 along with some really big and exciting news.
A lot of news today.
And so before we begin, I have to keep saying this, guys. I know it's going to get really annoying to hear it after such amount of time.
But if we have new listeners, which I'm sure we do, we probably have hundreds of them, right?
So, I'd just like to inform you guys that this, we can have a lot of spoilers about the book. We do talk about future events that happen. So if you have not finished reading the first book, The Hunger Games, please do not listen to this podcast. The next two books, Catching Fire and Mockingjay, we will not talk about as much as we really want to, because I have finished reading the entire series. So I'm going to try to be containing myself, not to say too
like
much.
Like I've had to contain myself, so yeah. Now we're both. Now he can't keep me in line, but I'm sure we'll figure it out.
So we'll just try our best not to say everything. We've been talking about it all day. The first time I called her while I was away, was the first thing we talked about was The Hunger Games.
Yeah, we just, you know how it is.
Also, if you guys have noticed on our website, we do have a survey and polls page that we encourage everybody to fill out. We appreciate your feedback on this podcast so we can make it the best it can be. So head over to nightlock.weebly.com, and Weebly is spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y.
Yes.
So nightlock.weebly.com, fill those out. We also have a forums, which I have not seen any activity on. So I really want you guys to just post your thoughts about the different topics that are up there.
And whoever posts first, we'll read it on the show. So, you know, we'll read conversations if you have really good insight, too. Like, obviously, we're going to read it and so that your voice can be heard for the fandom.
And now that we're having more fans, we're having a lot of fan-based stuff. We have a new segment today that Kira's going to show that's fan-based material. So that's going to be really exciting to hear.
Yeah, we have a fun-packed episode. It's probably going to be our longest episode, just warning you, but it'll be
first,
good.
Our first episode
was so long.
An hour and 6 minutes.
And it was, like, all on chapter one. We're getting more efficient.
And so, and also, there are District 11 we have added, which is official photos of the characters on the site. So, check those out. I think it's only of Katniss, Peeta, and Gale, right?
Yeah, that's it. But there's all different shots. It's basically all the pictures that were in the EW Men of the Hunger Games. Which is hanging on my wall. It's all hanging out there. Yeah, you can see that.
So, we'll check those photos out. And once we get more pictures of the cast, we'll post that as well.
Yeah.
So, we'll move on with Kira with her Pen and Post segment.
Pen and Post. Okay, so every episode, as you know, we'll be discussing the news about the Hunger Games series, mostly about the movie, since they're currently filming that. In North Carolina. And side note, I was actually in North Carolina, like a week and a half ago. I wasn't near where they were filming. I was like about 5 hours away, but kind of it was cool just being in the same state as all those famous people that we will soon look up to. So that was just cool. And anyway, so next episode, which we've been looking forward to, episode 5, big number 5. Alright, I'm good. He's offering me a cookie. Next episode will be a special episode, as I said, where we only discuss casting for all main characters. So we might have news, we might not. We're planning to watch movies that they're in that we haven't seen yet, and so that we can really dissect them and have a ton of fun.
We're
going to
watch
that.
Movies?
Yes.
We don't have time for that.
We're doing that after we record today. Well, I'll watch all the movies and he'll watch snippets.
We don't have time for that.
We will.
School starts next week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, well, jumping right into it,
Can you just let me do this?
Okay. All right, so, Gary Ross, the director, had some details to spill about the scenes already shot, along with very positive comment about Jennifer Lawrence's acting. According to Entertainment Weekly, quote, meanwhile, production on the North Carolina set has recently shifted from the ferocious arena scenes to the
creepily garish world of the Capitol.
I don't know why I try. So Ross is quoted saying, "We've already done a lot of action-y stuff. We've burned down a forest. We've had the fire sequence. We blew up this pyramid of stuff that went 150 feet up in the air. And we had suitcases flying over a quarter of a mile." end quote. Going on with Entertainment Weekly's part. While Ross says the high octane action has been a thrill, he remains most turned on by the story's emotional core. Quote, I think it's the power of Jennifer's acting that's the most moving to me, he says. Quote, that's the stuff that knocks me out. So there's a lot of stuff in there. Going back to kind of the part where what he says he's already filmed, we, as readers, we can know kind of what he's talking about. So he says, we burned down a forest.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? The forest scene in the arena.
Wow. Which one, Matt?
Well, the moment where they...
Yeah, the forest on fire. The one where she gets, like, her leg is all... her leg is charred.
Yeah.
You say that charred, right? Yeah. Yeah, so that's exciting to know that, like, that was already filmed and, like...
Well, one thing I think is cool about movies is that they film different scenes at different times. Like, it's so scattered, and then they make it all, like, if I was directing, I would have, okay, first chapter, first scene.
But you can't do that because you don't know when the actors are coming in. Like, Woody Harrelson or whatever came in, like, a couple week ago or so.
I think, well,
like,
the first,
before that, you know.
The first few chapters are probably just Katniss, Prim, her mother, her father, and Gale. That's probably it.
I feel like flashbacks aren't going to be, like, opening scene. I feel like it might be, like, 10 minutes in the movie. Because it'd be weird to, like, kind of open with that.
No, but I'm saying, like, probably the first few minutes is going to be flashbacks. So if they film...
I don't know.
They film those scenes last, so they won't need as many cast members.
Yeah. Oh, you mean... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and then he also... We had the fire sequence, which that's, I think, still the forest that he's talking about. We blew up this pyramid of stuff that went 150 feet up in the air. So that's the careers, food, and all their supplies, right?
Right, yeah.
I think that's one of my scenes I'm most excited for. I don't know, like, just having, I don't know, like, having Katniss, like, hiding and the whole, how Rue is setting the different fires up and everything. That's just, that's going to be, like... one of the climaxes. I mean, there's going to be a ton, but so that's going to be pretty cool. And suitcases. There isn't suitcases in the book, right? I mean, they have backpacks and stuff.
They probably have suitcases to keep stuff in.
Yeah, but yes, that was interesting. But so that's basically that news story. So this is the big news story, probably the biggest announcement we've had since we heard about who's playing Katniss and Peter Gale and everyone else, kind of thing.
That's pretty funny.
November 22nd, 2013. Save the date. Lionsgate has announced that Catching Fire will be in theaters on November 22nd, 2013.
That is my 18th birthday.
Amazing.
So we're going to go to the midnight premiere for my birthday.
Yes. And we'll be in college then. That's, like, freaking me out.
I don't
out.
Care.
I know, but it's free. It's
okay,
like,
okay, guys. I know I posted on Twitter saying that we're probably going to do a live recording at the midnight premiere
of
the Hunger Games.
We have to figure out how to do that.
I've already planned that. Like, I've already told them we are doing this.
Well, we should, but I don't know how we're going to do that. We should just walk around and interview people. Like,
take one of the laptops,
we
take the microphone,
yeah,
and then that's it.
That's true, we could do it. I don't know how we could do it live, but I'm sure we'll be more advanced by then. We can figure it out.
Well,
Fireside Chat does that. Also, by the way, if you're a fan of podcasts, which you are if you're listening to this, check out Fireside Chat. They're awesome. They do live shows every Monday at 10 o'clock, just a little promo for them.
I have to ask him, because I don't know how people do it live. I don't know how to do that.
Well, I know we could do it live from home.
Because I do listen to...
We need internet to do it live, but...
Because I listen to a radio, and it's a UK radio, and they do everything live.
Yeah.
They do it right there. I don't know
how
to do
that. Okay, we need to stop.
Okay, sorry.
So do you think they've announced this too soon, this release date? They haven't even finished filming the first film, and they're already saying when the second film will be out. It's not. They can't see you shake your head, Matt.
No.
Elaborate.
I think it's good that we have something else to look forward to.
I think it's good, but they're going to have to... They're probably going to change the date. I mean...
You don't know that.
Relating it back to Harry Potter, which we do probably too much than we should, but relating it back to Harry Potter, usually when they have a release date... And they do it, like, far in advance, they end up changing it a little bit because of, you know, just scheduling. And because you don't know, like, what if it takes longer than a year and a half to
do?
Well,
this is probably just an estimate. Maybe
yeah.
It's around this time, but I really like it to be on that date.
I don't want it to change. I'm pretty happy about it. I mean, a year and a half between them is good. Because a year, I think, is, like, too soon. Like, Yeah. Otherwise, they're not going to make a good movie, like a solid, just
like the
emotional
the
film.
The difference, well, remember how New Moon and Eclipse, they were like 4 or 5 months apart.
Yeah, that was crazy. I don't even know how they did that.
They probably, when they finished New Moon, the next day they started doing Eclipse.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, we've read, both of us have read the Twilight series. We're not huge fans. I mean, we watch the movies, but, you know, obviously Hunger Games is
the only
a
reason
lot.
Why I like Stephanie Meyer is because she's a fan of the Hunger Games.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
If you read on the back
well,
of the
books. Well, then I like her.
Read on the back of the books, she,
But sometimes, like, authors will get paid to just say good stuff about, like,
I don't know. She makes enough
like,
money.
The Mortal Instruments, which I'm a big fan of, I think it's Stephanie Meyer. She's on the front cover, like, quoted saying, what, praising the book or whatever. But,
She does read those books.
I think Stephanie Meyer has good writing. It's just kind of not my style, I guess. I don't know. It's a little overplayed. I don't like when things are like
sorry
everyone
for you,
loves them.
Sorry for your Team Edward, Team Jacob fans
yeah.
out there.
I think it's good though. Like I was a big fan in 7th grade, I think. Pretty good fan.
I started reading the book. I read the books in 8th grade.
Yeah.
And I was
7th 8th grade that was for us. So it was like 3 years ago.
Three years ago.
Crazy. Okay. So March 26th is actually my cousin's birthday. It's all these birthdays, like crazy. So happy birthday, Katie, on March 26th. No, so yeah, that's coming up in March. That's the release of The Hunger Games. What?
Sorry, just thought of something. Continue.
Okay. So yeah, we covered that. All right, I'm just going to move on here. Okay, so Elizabeth Banks, next story, was interviewed and New York Magazine got some insight on the set. Elizabeth Banks confirmed Effie does have pink hair, so I think that's great. That's good that they're not giving her, like, black hair. I think that suits her, right? Pink hair.
Pink hair.
Yeah.
I mean,
how else could they do it?
Barry personality.
Yeah. And she has some positive insight on Jennifer's acting. This is, like, when I read this, I was like, oh my god, the cast is amazing. Like, just, they're all so excited that, like, I've never seen a fandom where the actors are so excited and the movie hasn't even come out yet. Like,
I've never seen I've never seen actors so like, close together. I mean,
I know.
Besides Daniel, Emma, and Ripper, because they were together together for 10 years.
Yeah, but even they're pretty close. But I think Dan and Emma are closer than Ripper's kind of on the outside a little bit.
But I think like right now, I think everyone's going to be close together. Probably Jen, Josh.
Yeah.
And
well,
Liam.
Josh and Liam. Liam went to Josh's grandma's house and had his grandma's fried chicken. I think that's awesome. Just like, and they, I think they're planning on getting an apartment together. Like that's
oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
That. Josh
yeah.
And Liam.
I think that was in Men of the Hunger Games article, Entertainment Weekly. So if you haven't read that, definitely recommend that. But
yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think like Jen and who plays Pepper? Oh, God, what's her name? Shoot.
Willow
Shields.
Yeah.
Jen and Willow are probably going to be really close.
There's already pictures. If you follow some of the cast on Twitter, which we're going to talk about a little bit, they like post all the time, like pictures. They like go out to eat, and you just see the cast like, oh, around a slice of pizza. We're all like, hey, taking pictures of each other. They're like just regular teens, like all hanging out, like. They're regular teenagers.
Well,
it's hard
teenagers.
To think of them.
I think Josh is the youngest one.
Well, no, like the district. Like, I'm not talking about Jen.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh. Jen, Josh, and Liam. I'm talking about, like, all the tributes.
Right.
There's a ton of, like Jackie Emerson, Jack Quaid.
I think it's just really cool how close they are already.
Yeah.
And what filming what? In the spring they started filming or the summer?
I'm pretty sure it was June.
Jenna said for me, and they're already this close.
So. Yeah, so anyway, so I kind of...
Just have to keep going, because this is all next episode.
Yeah, we keep talking.
We can't stop, can't talk about this.
So, as I was saying, Elizabeth Banks has some positive insight on Jennifer's acting. Quote, anyway, Jen is perfectly cast. She's amazing. The real deal. Honestly, when we shot The Reaping, I wept.
Oh, that's so exciting.
That's all. It's,
I
she,
can't wait.
People should cry when they watch it, you know? If they, like, I need to cry when I watch
I'll probably
it.
Cry.
I'm not one that cries, but ever since I saw Harry Potter movie, I'm like, I cry like every movie.
No, I rarely cry in movies. Probably because I'm probably going to cry at the Rue scene, the scene with Rue.
I'm going to be like sobbing through the whole thing and then like cheering and then, you know, it's going to be awesome.
And I'm with you that whole night.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's going to be interesting. Okay, so, next story. T-Bone Burnett, the film's score and soundtrack supervisor, confirmed that Jen's Jennifer Lawrence, I'm like, I actually, we're best friends. So confirmed that Jennifer Lawrence's vocals will be on the soundtrack. We should get a clip of, like, cheering kids. No, he doesn't. All right, anybody that listens to Smart Mouse podcast, they're awesome. They don't have new episodes out anymore, but I've been listening to old episodes, and it's, you know, just a shout out to that, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. But anyway,
What was the point of you saying that?
Because every time something good happens on the show, like, they have, like, cheering kids, like, okay, whatever. Well, All right, I'm just going to stop talking after that. He's quoted saying, "It was beautiful. She did great. She sang it good. Killer actress." So, can you guess what, well, you can read it, but the song she will be singing, Ruse Lullaby. Because we all couldn't guess that. No, I'm so happy. This is...
They'll probably play that in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. She won't be singing it while she's acting, but she'll sing it in the studio, and then they'll play it when she's...
She'll mouth it while she's acting.
But I think that's going to be the most emotional scene of the whole, like, movies, films.
No. Not all of them.
Okay, well, we can't talk about other movies.
Well, I'm just saying, that's not going to be the most emotional scene.
I think definitely wins for Hunger Games.
Yes. You know,
but, so that's crazy. Jennifer Lawrence is also saying another thing, so it's not like they're just saying, oh, you know, you should sing it because you're Katniss, like, and she's going to be horrible. She's, you know, really great and everything, so, we're 18 minutes in and we haven't even gotten to last news story, which isn't actually news, but I'm putting it in the news category. There are many cast members that have official Twitter accounts, as I mentioned before, including Willow Shields, Josh Hutcherson, Lenny Kravitz, Elizabeth Banks, Amandla Sternberg.
Stenberg. Alexandra Ludwig and Jack Quaid.
Jackie Emerson.
Dale.
O'Neill.
O'Neill, he plays Thrush.
Yeah.
Ethan Jamieson.
And so many more. So, for a complete list with all the links, you can follow us on Nightlock Pod at Nightlock Pod on Twitter and look under our list and then click the cast. And there's, I think, all the cast that's on the official Twitter accounts. So, you can just see. And I know Alexander Ludwig, I'm a big fan of his, actually. I was even before he was cast. I saw him in other films. And he will respond to, like, just fans just asking questions. So, I would definitely recommend everyone, but especially him, because he responds to a lot of fans. And Jackie Emerson, too. Check them out.
The funny thing I did about that was on our Facebook page, Kira had liked some of the people, such as Willow and Amandla.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize.
I think it's Amandla.
Amandla.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that she liked them. I thought they had liked us.
Yeah.
So I got really excited.
Yeah, he, like, called me. He was like, Amandla has liked our Facebook thing. Oh, my God. She listens to us. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure that's true.
and then she told me, oh, Matt, we liked them.
Yeah.
So I got really, and that kind of crushed me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. They will in the future. We're going to be huge. We're going to be huge, like, MuggleCast and, like, people will, like, spot us at, like, ShopRite.
You're a little too confident on this.
A little bit.
All right, so now we'll move on to our next segment, which is our main segment, which is Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen. And so this is our main segment, which is analyzing the books by chapters. We summarize what happened in the chapter, along with the interpretation of the characters within that chapter, foreshadowing future events and our thoughts, questions, and comments. Last episode... We said that Kira said that she'd be. Well, I'll be doing even, right?
Okay, I'm doing odd. You're doing even.
Right.
I did chapter one, so I'm doing all odd. You're doing all even. Because I messed up on the first episode, so.
That was from the.
Did second. I really?
You left it there.
Sorry.
You made me read that.
All right. So I should really correct myself more. But
you really need to read that over.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. So, last time we discussed chapters 4 and 5, and today we'll start with chapters 6 and 7.
Yep.
So, we'll start with chapter 6, and it opens up with Katniss describing what the training center looks like, and she's saying that this is where we'll be living, our last place that we'll be living before we go into the arena to die. And before they go up to their floor, because the floors are arranged by districts, she has to get into an elevator. And she says that she does not like elevators because it reminds her of her father. And
enclosed spaces.
In enclosed spaces where she's away
no
from
light.
The light.
Yeah.
Or any
natural
air.
Light.
Natural light. And she just feels like she's going to suffocate in there. And Then it focuses on to what Effie's trying to help them get sponsors. In quote, it's Katniss says, and to hear her tell it, Effie knows everyone who's anyone in the Capitol and has been talking us up all day trying to win us sponsors. So this is sort of significant in the future events in the arena because Effie's work eventually does pay off because they do get a lot of sponsors to help them survive throughout the games. And
food, medicine, like, sponsors really go all out for them. So, and also, not just Effie, but Haymitch also. They kind of work together in order to get sponsors, but, yeah.
And this is a little bit of a humorous line that Katniss says. Remember, we have... Katniss has a little bit of a dark humor right now.
Yeah.
Because she's...
I think she always has kind of sarcastic dark humor, which I love. I love sarcasm.
I think it was in... What book was it? What was the one with Melinda Sordino? Speak.
Yes.
Speak, she was very funny, but that was
I can see how they were, like, they would, I could see them, like, being good friends.
But well, they're different. Melinda's depressed.
Well, yeah.
Katniss isn't depressed.
That's a good book, by the way, Speak. It's a little intense, like, I would read it if you're only in high school, kind of. We read it last year being sophomores, but definitely a good book, so. Mm-hmm.
Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, I recommend him.
Yeah.
That's a really good book. So, she says,
how often are we gonna, like, get off track here this
episode?
Well,
you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we're getting too relaxed.
So this is the quote that she says. Was it barbarism, I think?
Barbarism.
Yeah. Barbarism. That's ironic, coming from a woman helping to prepare us for slaughter. And what's she basing our success on? Our table manners? I think that's so funny how she's just trying to find, like, a little bit of light in this situation.
Yeah, she's trying to make it, you know, not too dreadful.
No. And, oh my gosh, my voice is terrible. Let's see, maybe... I'm gonna make sure you say that one. I don't need to say this one either. Oh, okay. And while they're sitting at dinner, Katniss realizes that one of the Avox girls, she remembers her, and, she's saying she's trying to figure out what she looks like with the red hair and the pasty skin. But she says, even as I utter words, I feel my insides contracting with anxiety and guilt at the sight of her. And while I can't pull it up, I know some bad memory is associated with her. The expression of terror that crosses her face only adds to my confusion and unease. So, at this time, Katniss knows she recognizes this girl, but she could not put a placement on where she's, what she is. But she's saying that she does feel guilty about something.
Right.
But she has no idea what it is. I personally like this Avox girl.
She has character to her, you know? Like,
even though she can't say anything, she says
she
a lot.
Has such a tragic story to her, kind of thing, like, that you just feel bad for her at this point, even though you don't even know her. You kind of, you know, she has something to her. There's a story behind her that you want to know and want to kind of help her, and but Katniss knows she's not allowed to, like, help her because that's, you know, not... They're supposed to be, like, slaves to them, basically.
And we do meet, later in the series, we do meet a few other Avoxes who are so significant. Even though you think someone can't talk, they can't really do much. But we do meet one specific one. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
We do meet one who does help Katniss and everyone.
Right. Without giving too much away, that's, yeah.
That's the very...
You know what we're talking about if you've finished the series, but...
And so, while they're sitting at dinner, Haymitch mentions, he praises Katniss and Peeta for holding hands during the, I think it's
chariot ride.
During the chariot ride. And he says it's some form of rebellion. And Katniss questions it, rebellion. She says, I have to think about that one moment. But when I remember the other couple standing stiffly apart, never touching or acknowledging each other, as their fellow tribute did not exist, as if the games had already begun, I know what Haymitch means. Presenting ourselves not as adversaries but as friends, has distinguished us as much as the fiery costumes. So, the whole plan with that with Senna was to try to get so much attention. They already had the flaming costumes. Katniss was milking the audience, and on top of that, they're holding hands.
I think without Senna, they would have been completely done for.
Oh yeah.
Because Katniss they wouldn't have gotten that. I mean, without the outfits, all right, they would have been two kids holding hands. Like, wow, that's kind of weird, but. It just gave them, it was like, that spark, but,
yes,
I'm so funny, it gave them that spark that it was like, it's a spark of interest, like, why are they, like, they're on fire, oh my god, you know, so, props to Senna.
Yeah. Just, alright, I'm not going to talk about it.
You're so bad at this.
I am not bad at this. I just finished reading the book Tuesday.
You got to be good at filtering what you say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, we don't need to talk about that one either. Okay, so her and Peeta go to the rooftop. And she's looking at the beautiful view, but Katniss, again, she's worried about electricity. And how, wow, they probably never had power outages here, whereas at home, they have to survive.
She's comparing the capital to everything at home.
She's comparing them, but she's not really focusing on where she is. She's more worried about, again, so worried about back home.
Like she always is,
She's always worried about home.
Yeah.
And then they go into the garden. But okay, this is the one time I get to say something about the second book.
I know, you'll be good.
There's the one scene where Peeta and Katniss are in the garden together, and if you guys read the second book, you know what I'm talking about, where they lay under the tree together. This is in the second book where Katniss rests her head on Peeta, and they are talking before they, that's it. I can't say anything else. And Katniss ends up telling Peeta the story of the Aelox girl.
This is back in the first book.
In the first book, and how the girl looked at Katniss, yelled for help, and she had ignored her because Katniss and Gale were they weren't understanding what was going on, and they were more focused on just trying to hide instead of trying to save them. And Katniss feels that she could have done more, but in retrospect, she didn't understand to do that when she was younger. She was a hunter.
She'd never seen anybody in the woods before, and then all of a sudden, there's this girl with another boy, and they're running, and then it all happens so fast that she doesn't even kind of get to know what's happening until they leave. And even after that, she's still kind of absorbing everything that's going on, like, what just happened? And what could have she done?
She really couldn't have done anything without the capital getting her as well.
Yeah, like, if she ran out, she would have just been killed or been in the Aelox, like.
And the scene was so quick. The birds stopped singing, two kids ran, the hovercraft came, picked them up, left, and the birds sang again.
Like, she could have, even if she, like, tried to shoot at the hovercraft, like, that's not gonna work, it's metal, like, that. You know?
I mean, she probably could have shot her arrow at the rope to knock the rope where the boy was. Or
yeah, but I don't know. To get a whole, it's probably like a rope ladder, like metal, probably, you know, it's like. So, it's one of Katniss's kind of traits that her wanting to save everyone, you can't save everyone. So,
and
you
kind
of have to pick and choose your battles.
She feels bad when someone dies. Especially under her.
Well, she feels like it's her fault, even if it's not related to her. Like, somehow she's like, I could have done something, which is very heroic, but at the same time, it ends up kind of backfiring on her a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
She even said that.
I think that's her biggest weakness.
She feels bad because she says that I let the capital kill the boy and mutilate the girl without even lifting a finger. She said it was just like I was watching the games, watching the people get killed, and she couldn't do anything about it.
And now people are watching her about to get killed, and so kind of full circle.
And she also says, I think this line is really important, you don't forget the face of the person who was your last hope. And so, technically in the games, Peeta is sort of her only hope, in a sense.
And Haymitch, even though he's not there, he's kind of her guardian, in a sense. Mm-hmm.
So that's why she constantly cared about Peeta during the games.
I don't know, I mean, she really, like, especially when she thought Peeta was with the careers, she hated him. She was like, Peeta, you know, I thought I trusted him. Why did I let myself even think about trusting? She didn't really trust him at that point, but why did I even let myself think about trusting him? I'm probably gonna have to kill him or confront him at some point. So I think she definitely roller coaster kind of with trusting him.
It's
feelings.
Always, it's always been like that.
Yeah.
Between feelings for Peeta, if they're real or not, and then feelings for Gale.
Yeah.
It's always been like that.
I mean, what teenager doesn't go through it? But, you know. And then, Katniss, it's a little more to the extreme.
Oh, boy. And then the last sentence in the chapter is, I wonder if she'll enjoy watching me die.
Referring to the Aelox girl.
Referring to the Aelox girl. Sort of like, so she's hoping that the Aelox girl will think this is revenge.
Yeah.
For not helping me.
But if you were the Aelox girl, like, I mean, if you were, I don't know, like, you would realize that what could she have done, you know, like.
If you think in a reality sense, yeah, you couldn't really have done anything.
But I guess just emotionally, it's like there was someone else there and they didn't help me. So.
Yeah.
But.
Alright, so that's the end of chapter 6. And then we move on to Kira with her chapter 7.
Chapter 7, lucky number 7. Alright, so we start out with Katniss having nightmares about the Avox girl. So we're still having the Avox girl. Along with her father dying. So she, kind of all her fears kind of present themselves in while she's sleeping with these nightmares. And so she really, this kind of shows that there is no escape. No matter, people kind of like, especially when they're depressed or something, they're just like, oh, I'll just sleep, and that's kind of an escape. But even for her, it's like, when she sleeps, she just has nightmares. Like, her whole life is a nightmare at this point, awake or asleep. So that's quite hard. So when she wakes up, she has clothes set out for her. And this is the first time she looks like herself with her long braid. I loved how it came back. She put her long braid back. That's just kind of reassuring and refreshing to know she's staying true to herself somewhat and trying to kind of hold on to a piece of herself and home and bring
that
back.
She doesn't lose herself.
Yeah. So she helps herself to breakfast with a plate full of eggs and rolls dunked in hot chocolate. While doing this, she's reflecting back on what's going on at home, what Katniss and what Pram and her mom would be doing and whatnot. And so then later, Peeta and Haymitch joins her, and Haymitch is, of course, drunk. What a surprise. And Peeta's wearing an identical outfit to hers, male version, probably. But
why would you say that?
I don't know.
It's a male version.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. So she wants to complain about the identical outfit issue, but she follows the orders of Haymitch of not complaining and just doing whatever Cinna and Portia say and whatever he says. And plus, Cinna hasn't done anything so bad so far, so she's still kind of testing the waters with him. Like, he seems okay. He seems like he actually wants to help me. And so then Haymitch offers to coach separately, but they decline. So this shows that they're still united and on good terms, but they're still not kind of conversing, easy conversation, which I don't know who would, you know, knowing their circumstances and everything. So Haymitch and Peeta and Katniss start talking about kind of their strengths, weaknesses, kind of what's going to help them win the games. What's their you know.
Motivation.
Yeah, motivation and all that. So what gives them the edge? That's what I was trying to say. So Peeta expresses he has no talent but baking bread. I have to add in there that the whole helpless thing is kind of cute, but I don't know. It's quite sad, though. Like, well, all I can do is bake bread, so
he reminds me of Charlie Brown.
Charlie?
Yeah, because Charlie Brown.
Oh, Charlie Brown. Like, who's Charlie Brown?
Charlie Brown can only make toast. Have you ever seen Charlie Brown Thanksgiving? Oh,
yeah.
He says to Linus that all he can make is toast.
That's cute. It is quite sad, though, because it's like, oh, Peeta, you're going to die. It's like, I'm going to love you for as long as you live, but which isn't going to be long. So Katniss says she hunts, and so Peeta chimes in, saying she is more than good, almost bragging about her. He's also noticed all these little things about her throughout the years. Katniss argues he can wrestle. So this is another hint that Peeta has actually loved Katniss, as he's noticed all these aspects about her when they didn't even really know each other. Kind of like they didn't talk to each other, they weren't friends. Kind of no contact there. And Katniss has also noticed things about Peeta she hasn't even realized. Like, all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, I know he wrestles, I know he does this. You know. So that's insight there. And Peeta told Katniss a quote from his mom saying, quote, maybe this year District 12 may finally have a winner. And so Kat was like, oh, you know, that's nice. Like, your mom's giving you motivation, like, you know. And he's like, yeah, but she was talking about you. So I thought this was, like, one of the more important things in the chapter, even though it is very minor, kind of, it doesn't jump out at you. But what is your impression of the relationship between Peeta and his mother?
Obviously there is. She will think about it. It's a house full of boys.
Right.
So, and I think Peeta's the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she probably thinks that Peeta's not as strong enough as the other sons are. She's comparing him to his brothers.
Right.
So she probably feels that, well...
Say that to your son right before he goes. Like, you want to give him motivation or...
I mean, in this sense, your son's going to die. You're going to lose your son. You should wholeheartedly support him.
Yeah, even if you 99% think that he's going to die, you don't want to say that. You never reveal... Like, being a parent, you never... can reveal how scared you are or whatever. You have to hold those things in so to protect your own kids, no matter how old they are.
If you're scared, your child's going to feel scared.
Right. You have to give that sense of security and home and loving and, you know. So, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a stiff relationship. I feel like he's a lot closer with his dad. He's just... kind of just that bond between father and son is so much stronger.
I could see them probably at the Peter at the age of 5 or 6 making bread with his dad.
Yeah.
Like Peter trying to knead.
I would so want to see that in the flashback of the movie.
Peter trying to knead the dough and his father wrapping his arms around him, helping him.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Getting the flour on his face, having a little flour fight. But
I could really see that.
So, I think he is closer with his father and just kind of that his mom, even like during the whole burning of the bread incident, giving the bread to Katniss and everything.
She hit him over a piece of bread.
She hit him. It's like, we don't, obviously, us being fed all the time and a good home and everything, but, I mean, they don't, obviously, bread is not just, you know, a ton of it. It is scarce and everything. But still, to, like, hit your child over that, like, I don't think you should ever hit a child, but especially over this, it just doesn't make sense. But, why do you think Peeta's mom is the way she is? You think there's some history to it?
I think she's gone through a lot in her life. Maybe, we don't know a backstory to her, maybe she lost family in the Hunger Games. Maybe she lost
But I think brother. If she lost family in the Hunger Games, Peeta would mention that because it'd be like, oh my...
Well, maybe her
there
mother...
There were other Malarks in the
Maybe
games.
Her mother never talked about it, such as Katniss's mother.
Yeah.
She never talked about people in the Hunger Games.
I almost think, which this is kind of speculation, just kind of randomly came to me. Now, we see... Well, actually, what book is... I don't want to say anything. I don't know which book it's in. I'm pretty sure it's in the first book. I don't know. So I'll kind of start testing the waters. You stop me if I get too far. When Peeta is talking about... his father. Peeta's father is talking about Katniss's mom. Is that first book? I'm pretty sure. I'm, like, 90% sure, but I don't want to, like...
Yeah, well, Peeta's father talking about Katniss's mom.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
That was when they were in the Justice Building. Right?
Well, when they're...
What did they say? What did he say?
He was saying that, Peeta, Mr. Malark, had always had a thing for Katniss's mom.
Second book.
But, no, that wasn't. It's still the first book.
Maybe it was in the Justice Building. Keep talking.
Okay, it's not a huge thing.
I want to know.
Okay, I think Peeta's dad always kind of loved Katniss's mom.
Right.
Right? So Katniss's mom marries someone else.
Yes.
So he's kind of like, you know, I have to, you know, you marry someone. So I think he married, you know, Peeta's mom, obviously they're together. But I feel like there's no real love connection there. Like, they kind of settled for each other in a way. Mm-hmm. Because Mr. Malark, like, the way he talked about Miss Everdeen and everything, like, I think Peeta's mom is just kind of not... She doesn't have someone to, like, love her kind of thing. And she's just stuck. She's stuck in this bakery. She's stuck being poor. I mean, she's not in the scene, so it's not as poor. But still, I feel like she's not... She doesn't have... the life she always pictured for herself. She probably imagined falling in love, as most girls do. And so I feel like she kind of settled, and now this is kind of her outlash.
Her depression, aggravation is.
Yeah. But do you agree with me that maybe she's, you know, like the whole...
It kind of, yeah, I do agree. That is actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Because imagine Peeta and Katniss. And Katniss falling in love with Gale. Peeta's going to have to find somebody else.
Yeah. And don't you think it's funny that if fate had worked out differently and Mr. Malark had married Miss Everdeen, then Peeta and Katniss would have been siblings and the whole plot would have changed, you know?
Yeah, because then she probably would have fallen for Gale.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't have had her father's natural instinct stuff.
And she would have been dead because she wouldn't have, like, been in the fort, gotten, like, because her dad had taught her everything. Everything. about gathering, hunting, really.
Like everything.
How many times am I gonna say everything? Let's see. No, but like, I mean, can you imagine how the story would have turned out if it was like a brother sister bond?
They couldn't
have worked out the
love. I don't think Suzanne could have written 3 books on that.
Yeah.
She could have, like, because the whole debating between Peeta or Gale was a current through the entire series until the last sentence in the book of the third book. But still, it's like that was the main thing that readers grip onto. As she's debating, while she's in the arena, she's debating whether, okay, maybe it's Gale. No, maybe it's Peeta.
Yeah.
That's like,
I mean, imagine in the games, how at first she'd be like, I have to kill my brother. And then she would go kind of like, well, and then she gets to team up with him. But they couldn't have that whole star lover angle.
No.
I feel like they would have, because they had, for Peeta to survive, he needed the medicine from his sponsors. So he would have been dead. So, I mean, everything just... We can go on and on.
I think what they could have done is that they could have said that Katniss and Peeta were separated at birth.
Yeah. They fall in love, and then they realize they're siblings.
Then they realize they're siblings.
Star Wars much.
They realize that they are completely... that they fall in love with each other. And then at the interview, instead of Peeta saying, I love her, he can say, she's my sister.
Yeah, but I still love you. Yeah.
No. I saw a news story on that once.
Really? That's crazy.
I saw the parents. The parents had the boy and the girl. They split up.
Parent trap. Huh.
And they moved away, but then they went to the same school.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
And so they started dating.
Ew.
They fell in love. And then they found out that they're brother and sister.
I guess. Love is love.
And the interviewer said, well, are you guys going to stay together? He said, and they both looked at each other and they said, well, of course, we still love each other.
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, they didn't grow up with each other, but I don't know. All right, well, I guess we should move on. But, did I do all this?
Yeah. You said the burning bread incident.
So then they both remember the burning bread incident and kind of their relating kind of about that a little bit, not too much. They don't really get into it too much here in this chapter. We're 43 minutes in. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I gotta hurry up. So, Katniss thinks people have been taking pity on her while trading for food. So, this is kind of a good point. Like, how she thinks because her dad had a lot of friends kind of that he would trade with and, you know, have all those contacts and business relationships, if you can call them that. So, she kind of feels like, oh, they probably just felt bad for me and that's why they're trading with me and giving me Saul and... stuff like that, and like Greasy Say, is that how you say, right? I think it's Greasy Say. Say, okay. So, like, how she would give him soup, kind of like she had gotten good deals, kind of, some places. So, and this is also how her character shines through that she's very independent. She doesn't like relying on anybody. She wants to be the sole provider for the family, I think. Well, she doesn't like want to be, but because she is, she just takes that role on.
She has to be.
And, which we've talked about a lot in the other episodes, so
we've
won't get too much into it.
We've talked about this topic like 60 times.
But, yeah, so, I thought that was kind of interesting, how she starts thinking that way. But, so, going back to Haymitch, so he tells them to learn different things when they go to the training center.
So, basically,
open training.
That's basically saying, do not, for Katniss, don't go to the archery.
Yeah, don't show your strong suit.
Don't, and then, I don't know about Peeta, just... go crazy.
Peeta, don't bake bread. So Haymitch makes them stand next to each other every moment, looking just as much as a team as they were presented
so
during the chariot race.
Really, and then, as Katniss, I remember this, as Katniss looks around the room, she sees Clove always at the knife place.
Right. All this foreshadowing in this chapter. I didn't want to, like, make this horrendously long, so I kind of just pointed some things out, but,
And then they do everything together. They did
I'm getting to it. Okay,
this is your chapter.
It's okay. This is good bantering. You know, we're getting into it. It occurs to her that she has kept track of Peeta through the years almost as much as he has for her. How many kids do you think there are in their age in school, like in their class? We have like 200 something or whatever. Like, how much do you think there is?
Probably 10 or 11.
10. There's 8,000 residents.
Oh, shoot, sorry.
How much does our town have? Like, don't say our town, but, like, 12, what are we?
12,000?
Yeah. And we have, like, 200. So they probably have around...
There's 8,000. They probably have over maybe 100. Maybe 50 to 100.
No. I'm thinking like 150. At first when I read
If they have 8,000, if there's 8,000 residents, probably think cut that in half. Because you probably have 4,000 parents.
Right.
And then if they each have two kids, but
probably, like, they don't have... A lot of kids don't survive through childbirth and stuff. I'm just kind of speculating because they wouldn't have... They don't have the technology that the Capitol does. So I'm just kind of thinking that. But, yeah, so, well, when I first read it, I imagined District 12 is very small, like, really small town. And that... Because I missed the whole 8,000 residents. But one of the times when I reread it, I saw the 8,000 residents, and I was like, oh, that completely changes my, like, picture. Like, I had a little... not cute town... pretty depressing town in my head, like where everything was a little map, and then I was like, oh, it's like 20 times bigger than that. But
I know, I think that's how I think about it.
Yeah,
I look at it, I think of like a desert.
Yeah,
the town's there in the desert, and then off to the left,
like I picture the Victor's Village, like big beautiful homes, like $1 million homes.
Victor's Village right here, and then like a few paces is the town.
Yeah,
a few paces other is the scene.
Yeah, and I picture like the scene, like 20 houses maybe.
Yeah.
And kind of like,
20 shacks.
Yeah, kind of thing. But, yeah.
I don't know.
So.
Then you got, it fit 8,000 people in that little.
Yeah, house. So, you know, it'd be like 1,000 people per shack. So that doesn't make sense.
Okay, so then.
But yeah, so, don't you think it's slim chances that they would have kept tabs on one another? I mean, kind of basing it on our grades or something. Say our grade was like half of what it is. You don't keep tabs. I mean, you kind of know one thing about, like, everyone in your grade, like, what sport they play or whatever, what instrument, whatever. But I think it's kind of fishy, you know. I mean, it is fate, but...
How she focused her attention specifically on him.
I mean, yeah, like, we can speculate that PETA really does like Katniss, so obviously he would know a lot about Katniss. But for Katniss to know about PETA, I think that's a little, you know, a little odd, but...
I think so.
Yeah, so, moving on. PETA and her are the only dressed alike in the, you know, training center, open training. And the last one is to arrive at the training center. There are different stations, but you can't practice with other tributes. Only your other company.
Partner.
So, do you think there's times when the tribute... The listeners don't know the question. Do you think there's been times where the tributes would kill each other in the training center?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Oh, well...
I don't know. I mean,
there's probably you have the instructors watching.
Yeah. But still, like, you're so close to each other, it's so easy that I wonder if, say, like, one of, like, say, District 11, the girl got killed or something.
Well, then you'd be killed.
Yeah, I guess, like, you'd be killed. Yeah. And then would they replace you or just... how would that work?
I guess they would just probably pick somebody else.
Probably replace you.
Or just keep going.
Yeah.
With just 22 kids.
That'd be crazy. That'd be real rebellion.
Oh, God.
Surprised
Katniss never thought of that.
Yeah. I guess she's not outright rebellious. It's like sneaky rebellious, like behind their back. But so she's noticed that almost everyone is bigger than her. She may be thin, but she tells herself she's strong. She's used to starving, getting by, while others aren't, so she has a few things going for her, but she really is one of the smallest. She's thin, you know, I mean, she has some muscle to her, but everyone's got a good 25, 50 pounds on her, other than Little Rue, but, you know, basically everyone else, we can assume. So there's a lot of loose ends in this chapter, kind of just throwing it in there, but, so she explains the careers are, no, up.
Oh, no, just looking, okay.
She explains that the careers are usually districts 1, 3, and 4, which we had speculated before. Sorry, we should know our information. We're going to get better. We're going to start studying. And no, we're pretty good, but...
Don't worry, we're not doing that.
Yeah, so, districts 1, 3, and 4. Because district 2 is Kato and Chloe. So,
You're not going to like that scene in the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not going to like that scene. That's going to be terrible.
Okay, random question I'm going to throw in here.
Okay.
I was listening to Fireside Chat, and they had brought up that, do you think that Kato and Clove were, like, together? Now, I'm going to tell you how old they were, because you probably don't remember. Do you think they were together?
judging by how they stuck together.
Because there's not a lot of partnerships like that.
No, but, like, they were both out to get Katniss. And they both stuck together. It's hard.
And the way when Clove was hit in the head by Thresh and, like, dented Kato in the head.
Kato screamed her name.
Yeah, the way he screamed her name. Just, like, really, just like Katniss screamed Rue's name. I mean, different types of love, but it's still that hardcore love kind of thing. I don't know.
That's a really good point. I never thought of it like that.
Which, totally, I have to cite my sources. Fireside Chat brought this up, and I just kind of wanted to throw that in there. But now that you think that, and then, okay, so Clove is 14, and Kato is 19.
Oh my god.
So.
That girl with those knife skills is 14.
Yeah, that's what Fireside Chat said, which I'm pretty sure is correct. So, I mean, I don't know, like, that's a pretty big age difference.
Oh my god.
You're, like, a freshman in high school, and you're a freshman in college. Sophomore in college, so that's pretty big. I don't know, the games, like, you know, it's hard to relate to our life. Like, if you're in the games, this is, like, your last chance for love and all that, like.
I'm pretty sure, based on that.
Yeah, you think? That'd be a pretty good fanfiction. If you know of a fanfiction that has them, I'd like to see how people would explore that.
I would love to read that. I would even write that.
Well, let's give them a chance. We don't have time. But,
I run another fanfiction that I need to do.
Which we should promote. We'll promote at the end. Even though it has nothing to do with the Hunger Games.
Don't laugh at me if I...
No, whatever. So I thought that was just interesting, but... So if you have a fanfiction, totally, we can feature it on the show. Cool.
Which is what we're doing today.
Yeah, we have a fanfiction we're featuring. Okay. Really got to stay on task. Okay. Pete and Katniss start by tying knots. The mentor there shows them a simple trap for a human, which I think, like, I don't know why other people aren't doing this, because I feel like this is one of the best ways to, like, get someone in the Hunger Games, because if you don't want, like, direct combat, that's
great. No, but that
great.
Even setting traps like that can get game.
Yeah.
Because that's
I don't know why.
To survive. She's set up, her and Rue set up traps.
Yeah, which, I mean, she's years experience, but still, like, if I was in the Hunger Games, I would definitely, that'd be, like, the first station I went to.
Yeah, I don't care about offense, I just care about surviving.
Yeah, because I feel like I would die anyway, try and survive off the land as much as you could, and kind of indirect things, but.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You're a woodsy person.
Yeah,
so.
I love the woods so much. I love the woods more than Katniss and Gale, which is a lot. A lot. Okay. Mm. Alright, so, then they are, working on disguises with Camo, which, I don't know, I don't think that's too important, but,
it is in the book,
I wouldn't think that's too important, but, Peeta mentions he decorates the pretty cakes in his father's bakery, so, good old Peeta trying to lighten the mood, you know,
Peeta.
It's like, he's such a flirt, it annoys her that Peeta's good at the Camo station. And it's kind of weird, since she's so good at about everything else, that the one thing he is good at, she's like, oh, I'm so jealous, he's good at that. It's kind of like Hermione being good at everything. It's like, you know,
yeah,
I don't
the one
know.
Thing that Harry's good at.
Yeah, it's like.
Like Harry.
You can't
can,
be good
Harry
at everything.
Harry can fly a broom.
Yeah, and Hermione's like, I'm gonna try to do that. Anyway, yeah.
Then the one time she flew a broom was during the flying lessons in the first year.
Yeah.
That was the only time. Well,
going to the Ministry of Magic,
in the fifth book.
That's Joel's timeline.
Seventh book she flew.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Potter Games. You should check out that website, too. It's pretty cool. It's, like, kind of fanfiction-y. It's cool. All right. PotterGames.com. Okay. So, 20 or so game makers came, and they're... When, I can't talk. 20 or so game makers came, and if they're not writing down notes, they're pigging out on food that's there. They keep their eyes on District 12 tributes, though. And so this is kind of another time that we see the Capitol people as kind of brat-ish and kind of just eating and, you know, don't even care that 23 of those 24 kids are going to die. Probably, right? So later when they're eating lunch... they have a somewhat awkward conversation, and Peeta mentions a different type of bread from the district, which I thought was kind of interesting, like, for Susan to throw this in, kind of, just explaining, like, oh, this is from District 4, right, seaweed and all that, so I thought that was cool, but, and how that is the one thing he's an expert at. So Rue from District 11 watches them from a short distance. She's also named after a flower, kind of how Katniss and Prim are. So that kind of shows how close connection they're going to be. So I thought that was foreshadowing, if you know, like, you know. So she joins them at different stations, which that kind of contradicts what I said before about you can't be with other tributes, but I'm a little confused on that. I don't know.
Well, obviously, if you guys go to the same station together...
Yeah, I guess I mean, you I can't converse with them. I think that's what I meant before.
Yeah.
So, and Katniss feels for her. She feels sorry for her kind of thing. And so, the beginning of their friendship
but
and alliance is here.
They talk at dinner, I think.
Yeah, I think just
Kat
during...
And, like, Rue tells the story of the four-note song that she uses when it's time to end the work's day.
No, that's in the games, though, right? Not during... Yeah, I think you can talk in the games,
know.
Obviously.
You guys
are going
to yell at us because I don't know what I'm talking about.
So, did you see the alliance coming? Or did you just think it was, like, Katniss feeling sorry?
Well, Katniss was sorry for everybody.
Yeah, so it's kind of...
It's kind of just, like, Katniss's emotions.
I could see
wild.
How she was relating her to Prim, but I definitely didn't see the alliance coming. But reading back, it's like, I could have predicted that. It just didn't jump out at me.
I kind of expected it because... Rue reminds Katniss of Prim.
Yeah.
And,
She wants to protect her, like everyone else kind of thing, but... So Katniss struggles with not being friends and fake being friendly to Peeta. She's kind of struggles at, you know, really the first half of the book. So, private lessons start, District 12 is last. And the boy goes first and the girl. So Katniss is the last out of the 24. The two give each other encouragement, So, what score did you think Peeta was going to get?
What did he do?
He just lifted things and was, like, throwing them around, kind of, like, showing that he's strong.
Oh, okay.
So...
I'm thinking about the second book, what he did. Okay.
Yeah. I thought he was going to get a low score. I thought he was going to get, like, a 5 or 6.
I think he was going to do...
Because,
well,
yeah, he's strong,
everyone can show this.
Everyone is strong, so...
I mean, probably Katniss looking around the room, she can... kind of tell Clove is going to show her knife skills.
Yeah.
And so, it's kind of just, I think he was going to do probably pretty bad.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do pretty bad, which he did better than I expected, so that's good. But,
Wait, just so you guys know, he scored an 8.
Yeah.
Because we just looked that up.
Yes. So he scored an 8 on that, just note that. So when she goes in, she uses the bow, but it's different than hers at home, so it's a little foreign to her and everything, and she captures some of the game maker's attentions. She shoots an arrow through the apple in the pig's mouth that's on the table in front of the game makers and kind of spears it through the wall. On the wall. And she leaves without being dismissed, saying, "Thanks for your consideration." I love that. I started cracking up when I read that and just amazing. This girl's got style. You must
She's
admit,
got
Dumbledore's got style.
She's got spunk.
Yeah, so...
She's got some sassiness in her.
Yeah, I thought... I don't know, like, Susan kind of made you think that, she's doomed, but I didn't really think she was doomed.
She made
I thought
herself,
it gave her an edge.
She made herself
right away.
Think she was doomed. Because she goes, well, no one's ever done that before, they're gonna call me out, I'm probably gonna become an Avox, because I run out against what everyone else did.
But I don't know, I couldn't really... Usually, I can just... Whatever the author wants me to think, I end up thinking. But for this, I didn't. I just... I'm like, no, you're gonna get a good score for that. Like, I don't know. I can see the rebellion part that she's scared, but other than that. So, and she ends up getting an 11 and Peeta an 8. That's in the next chapter. But we'll just kind of tie up that. That's it for Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen, which is pretty long. We're an hour now. We only have 2 more segments to go, so, and they're not very long, so. Okay, so this is a new segment.
Did we decide a name on this yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Here we go. Send us your feedback for what you think this should be called, this
we
segment.
We came up, I think of fanfics favorites, we came up fanfics followers.
Fantastic fanfics, which is horrible, I'm not good at this. I like alliteration, though, I like FFF kind of thing, but, So, we'll just stick with fanfic followers and see where that kind of goes with that. So, this is a new segment where we recommend a Hunger Games fanfiction. And we're both really big into fanfiction. I love Harry Potter fanfiction. I've read Delicate, which is, like, my all-time favorite Harry Potter fanfiction. It's It's for teenagers, nobody less than that, younger than that, I mean. So, yeah, but, so if you love fanfiction as much as we do, you should follow Nightlock Rex. And, we found them on Twitter and liked their name, because we're Nightlock, but we're not actually related.
It's, no spaces, it's Nightlock, R-E-C-S, all lowercase.
Yeah, so, follow them on Twitter along with us, we're Nightlock Pod. But yeah, so we found them on Twitter, and they're really nice, and they recommended the story for this week, for me to read. I asked, kind of, what story do you recommend, kind of thing, because that's what they do. So, and now I'm passing it on to you guys. So, the fanfic this week is And So We Run Rux.
Redux.
Part 1 by... Who's that by, that?
Medea Smike.
And so I asked permission for this, and thank you so much for letting us read a little bit of it and kind of talk about it. It takes place during Catching Fire, but it's Gale's kind of perspective of what's happening in District 12 during Catching Fire. And since we didn't talk about that yet, Catching Fire, we don't want to spoil it for anyone. So I'm not going to, like, kind of say, kind of summarize it, which I was going to, but it's what's going on. If you've read Catching Fire, you know what I'm talking about. It's what's going on in District 12 with Gale's perspective. So the writing style is simply amazing, and it draws you right in. It's intense. It's rated T, which is for teen. But you can find the link on our website under fanfic followers, I guess we're going to put under. We have a new page, I guess. And so I'll read a short snippet to give you a taste of the story. It doesn't reveal anything much. Just setting the scene. And so, yeah, the beginning isn't very intense. But it's, I love the writing style. It's awesome. Why isn't it going down?
Why is it going down?
Yeah. Oh. So this is the prologue I'm going to read you, and,
I don't understand.
Yeah, my computer's freaking out.
Okay.
Okay. Which, do you want to read it? Because I'm not a good reader.
Okay.
Or should I read it? You can read it. This is the prologue.
So, the droning of the aircraft and the distant whistle of a train are the only warning the people of District 12 receive. But it is enough for those men and women who have lived to old age, the ones with childhood memories older than the reaping and the gains. In the scene, the throbbing air wakes a 90-year-old man from a fitful slumber. He thinks the noise belongs in the tail end of a dream about the fall of the dark days, of the smoldering ruins of a district he has never visited, but remembers with hope and dread. The dream of the smoke and the songbird. The thrumming throb hangs in the humid night air like acne.
Ache. Oh, we
drew
in that.
Oh my gosh, sorry guys. In his joints, which tells him that the dream has ended, that he is awake. The old man knows the sound, what it means, so he rises, knees cracking, from his cot. He wakes his daughter. His daughter wakes the children and her sleep-deprived husband. Her husband wakes his neighbor and so on. Beyond the scene lies the meadow and the live fence. Beyond the fence lies the forest. And the forest means safety. And the fence means death.
I like it. It draws you in. I like it. You have to read I read the first three chapters, and I love it. It does have a pairing of Gale and someone. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I don't mind pairings and stuff. Like, kind of, it gives you a taste of what other readers see, that they could be pairings and everything.
Why did I say acne? I feel stupid. This whole episode I've been...
Yeah, not the whole podcast. Just this episode,
this
right?
This so off.
Yeah. So, yeah, follow Nightlock Rex. So that's who recommended. And the author of the story...
Medea Smite.
She has a lot of stories on there, and if they're any good as this one, they're all amazing. I think I love her writing style, and so yeah. So check her out. The link will be on our website, so you can read the whole story and send her your feedback, because you know we all love reviews if you write fan fiction.
I'll probably do some promotion on my fanfic too.
Yeah.
I don't have it up with me now, but probably next episode I'll talk about it. It's It's a lot. I've read a lot about season 4 of H2O Just Add Water, and a lot of people have been saying maybe they might create a season 4, maybe they might create a movie, but I decided to write my own season 4. It's based on the new character that I introduced, and so
Jared,
and it's focused on him, and all three main characters, Cleo, Ricky, and Bella, and there are a few surprises in there. It's a lot of research I did on that.
Yeah.
So, check that out.
He has a really good writing style. Mine is crap, but...
My username is Matt-Ocean. So, take a look at that. It's H2O Season 4 Life of Purpose. Yeah. So, I have, over 1,000 hits.
That's awesome.
So, and I love reviews. I love reviews. So, make sure you review that.
Yeah, and mention that you listen to our podcast, too, if you review him there.
Yeah, because I won't like you.
Yeah.
All right, so that's an interesting segment. I like that segment.
Yeah, so
probably
I don't like the name too much.
We have to come up with a better
name. Yeah. All right, so then, last segment of the day.
Which is Matt Malotti's Music, which is every podcast episode, I will play a song by a well-known artist or a Hunger Games fan-made song that connects to the novel based on the chapter of discussion or... just a song that people have recommended.
Yeah.
This week, Kira and I have actually selected the song, which is titled Let the Games Begin by, Aura?
Aura.
We want to give credit to her producer, FX Music, who made the song possible.
You can find them on Twitter, too.
Yes, and she submitted her song through her Twitter, which is Official Aura, and you can submit your own original songs or favorite songs. You spelled the British way, favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Songs through Twitter, too.
Brilliant.
Just tweet us at NightLoftPod. So, yeah.
This is an original song by her, which she sings, and I thought it was pretty good.
You haven't listened to the whole thing, though.
I listened to a good portion, and I'm about to listen to the whole thing.
You're about to listen to the whole thing.
So, enjoy.
My heart is beating. Will I be chosen? The chance is likely, I'm standing frozen, they call the name, it isn't mine, but I step forward, this will be my bite, to say I'm not scared, would be a lie, the first to enter. Thank you.
Alright. Well, thank you, Aura, so much for that song. That was great.
I love it. That's an awesome song. Like, your voice is so clear and, like, just beautiful,
it,
really.
It does suit the Hunger Games and everything.
Yeah.
She's centering it around Katniss.
Yeah.
So this would be probably something Katniss would... If you watch the movie, you would see all the scenes.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they got to play her song during the reaping? Like, that'd be pretty cool, you know?
It'd probably be on the train ride.
That's true, yeah.
So, like,
I think that would fit. I mean, that'd be awesome, like, and then we played on our show first, and, you know?
Okay.
Yes.
So...
I want to be famous.
If you guys have a song that you want to showcase on our podcast, do not hesitate to send it in. And if I like it, or if Kira likes it, we take votes on it. We will...
It's his segment, but I've kind of been...
She's been deciding music for me. Which
I've been writing my own.
She's been doing everything.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Aura, so much. That was brilliant.
That's awesome. So, official Aura. Follow her on Twitter, please.
And so, next week, we will feature the song, was it Emily Wells submitted?
So, just a small note there. We won't say what song it is. But.
So, Emily Wells, if you're listening, your song is up next week.
Yeah, so, thank you for submitting it. We totally appreciate it.
Right.
I was actually thinking about doing that, so it's funny that you submitted that song.
Why isn't it going down?
I don't know. So, kind of wrapping up the show here.
Is that it? You didn't put the plugs in.
Yeah, I did. It's at the end. It's just... So, since school is starting for us, we've kind of worked out a schedule for when we're going to have episodes out. During the summer, it's been a little chaotic, but we have managed to do 2 a month and about every 2 weeks. So, we're going to... We didn't actually agree on this, but we're doing the first... Right? We said that?
September 1st?
No. That's way too soon.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so, the first and third weekend of the month is when we're going to have the episodes. So, we're going to record it sometime... I'm reading that. Okay.
Well, I'm looking.
So, we're going to record sometime during the weekend when we get together, and then we're going to, upload it on that Sunday at the end of the weekend, because we'd have it up by then. So,
okay, I have to tell you.
Yes.
Sunday the 18th, I can't do.
Well, you can't do that whole weekend?
No, just Sunday.
No, I'm saying... Listen, so we're going to record either Friday night, Saturday sometime, or Sunday. But even if we record Friday night, we're going to release it on Sunday. So it's a regular schedule.
Oh,
2 days
okay.
isn't going to really make a difference. So, so next episode is coming out September 4th. That is the first weekend of September. So it's the first and third Sunday of the month. So this month, it's going to be the 4th and the 18th. So, we'll record it sometime that weekend, and then we'll release it on the Sunday.
Probably Saturday.
Yeah, so that works. And we're going to try and stick by that schedule. September and October is crazy for me. I play field hockey, so that's kind of crazy for us. And just school starting and AP classes and all crazy stuff. We'll get into the groove. It should be good. So, to end the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe us on iTunes. Write us a review, please. We would love it.
I would love it too.
It's awesome. I love when I scream for joy. I'm a little fangirl when it comes to that.
We get so excited when we get new followers on Twitter and likes on Facebook.
Oh, by the way, we have over 600 subscribers.
Thank you guys so much. Oh my gosh.
It's so exciting. We're just normal kids just hanging out, doing a podcast, and we have over 2,000 downloads between the three episodes.
Make sure you guys thank Kira, because she's been doing everything to get us these many people. She's the whole thing on advertising. So.
Yeah, but if you do anything, one thing for us, follow us on Twitter. That's definitely...
Because she posts everything on Twitter.
I get
little bits and pieces, but usually it's... Every time I check this, she's following some other people. We're following 870.
Yeah, I figure the more we follow, the more followers we get, kind of thing.
Well, we have 198 followers.
Yeah, so make it 200, guys. Yeah.
That would be just great. And
we've also contacted other podcasts that we're hoping to kind of collaborate on an episode or two. So that's exciting. Kind of shout out to Girls with the Stacks. Sorry, just butchered that. And Mystic Lit Lounge. That's kind of the podcast that we've kind of reached out to. And also Hunger Games Fireside Chat is awesome too. So, and there's also, I've listened to Rebellion Radio, which is kids like us doing a podcast. So they're cool. They come from Demigods Live. But I'm going to stop rambling, and we can go. But,
So stay tuned for next episode. That is going to be
September 4th.
The cast.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge episode.
That's the cast analysis.
We're taking a break from Through the Eyes, Katniss Everdeen, and other regular segments, and we're just doing the cast, I think.
And I think it'll probably just be 40 minutes, so even us.
Yeah, it's not going to be like a long episode.
This has been over an hour and hour 17 and, minutes, yeah.
By the time it's done, it'll be hour and 21, guessing.
So thank you guys so much. Yes.
This is so exciting for us.
We never thought we'd get...
This far.
So keep listening, guys. And so if you have any questions, comments, or whatever, do not hesitate to email us.
And if you want to kind of give us your input on Josh, Jen, Liam, Jackie Emerson, Alexander
Lubitsch. Our buddies Jen and Josh.
Don't forget Liam. He's cool, too.
Yeah, Liam.
So send us your feedback on those actors, and we can read them on the show. So check you
Thanks
later.
Thanks for listening.